Absolve me, my fathers. Today, as you heard, the church places for us this wonderful reading of the story of Lazarus, the beloved of Christ, whom the Lord raised from the dead. And you know that this story is recounted for us a number of times throughout the church year. And we want to find out why we are reading it here today. But before we do that, let's take a quick journey through the seasons of the church that we have passed through. This is an interactive part, so please join me. The one season I want to talk about first is 55 days. That 55 days is which season? We have 55 days of fasting called? No one knows? The Holy Lent, the Great Lent. 55 days, which is crowned with the Holy Week, is the Great Lent. After the 55 days, we have a period of 50 days. What's that period? The 50 days, the Pentecostal period. And at the end of that 50 days, we have which feast? The Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Then we start right away after Pentecost to fast. What fast do we fast? The Apostles' Fast. And no matter what day we start the Apostles' Fast, we always end it on which day? The 12th of July. Excellent. So the 12th of July is the feast day of Saints, remembering the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul, and it's the Apostles' Feast. Okay. The 12th of July corresponds to a Coptic date of the 5th of Abib. So the fifth day of the Coptic month of Abib, we celebrate the Apostles' Feast. The church has placed for us all the readings of the Sundays of the Coptic month of Abib to focus on one important topic. And that's how the Lord prepares the apostles and therefore prepares us, his church, so that we can follow his steps and make it to heaven. Okay, so four Sundays in the month of Abib. Today is the fourth Sunday, so we've had already three Sundays in this Coptic month of Abib leading to today. Let's go quickly back to those three Sundays of the month of Abib to see how the Lord is preparing the apostles and preparing us to follow his footsteps so that we can make it with him and rejoice with him forever in heaven. And don't worry, we'll go quickly through these readings and then come to today's reading. Okay? So on the first Sunday of the month of Abib, we heard from Luke chapter 10, after these things the Lord appointed 70 others also, sent them two by two before his face. What did he send them to do? And he sent them, I'm going to skip forward to a few important verses. He says, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Okay, so he told his apostles to bring forth a message of peace. So now I want to apply it to me, because I'm also following the apostles. Am I sending peace wherever I go? For example, I may be working all day long, and at work I may have lots of confrontations with people and stressful situations to deal with, and I'm bagging all these up and carrying it in me. When I go home, do I give myself a minute first to decompress so that I could bring peace to my home? Or am I all bottled up so that any little thing that comes against me, I'll explode and not be peaceful in my own home? If the Lord is telling the apostles to send the message of peace, he's also telling me to bring peace wherever I go, including my own home. So bringing a message of peace. The Lord also tells the disciples to go heal the sick wherever they go. Okay, now many of you perhaps are in the medical profession or pharmacists or in health sciences, so you can literally help to heal others. But others of us are not in that profession, so how can we help to heal others? Heal others is not just, of course, in the physical sense. You could bring a message of healing and reconciliation by reaching out and forgiving one another. We all make mistakes and we all hurt each other. So we could help to heal others who have hurt us. And of course, we can apologize to help to heal others that we ourselves have hurt. So the Lord sent his apostles with a message of peace and a message of healing. And of course, the Lord sent the apostles to preach that the kingdom of God has come near to you. The apostles went and they rejoiced. And you remember when they came back to the Lord, what were they very happy about? They said, Lord, even the evil spirits, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Okay? And the Lord replied and said, yes, that's true. The devils are subject to you in my name. He gave them power and authority to perform healings and to cast out evil spirits. He said, though, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Okay? So that was the first Sunday of this Coptic month of Abib. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Bring peace, bring healing, bring reconciliation. Let's jump to the second Sunday. Okay? I said we're going to go quickly, so we're going to jump to the second Sunday of the month of Abib. Okay? The reading for the second Sunday was when the disciples asked this interesting question to the Lord, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Okay? And greatness here in the kingdom of heaven is different than greatness perhaps from a worldly perspective. Greatness in the kingdom of heaven, as the Lord tells his disciples, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, your names are written in the kingdom of heaven. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must return and become as little children. So greatness in the kingdom of heaven is not the greatness of worldly adults, but it's the greatness of heavenly children. In the adult world, perhaps when I grow up, I think I'm great because I reached a certain level of education. I have some certificates or degrees that I hang up in my office or at home, and that's what I consider greatness. Or perhaps greatness in the world is because I reached a level of income. My income every month has been growing, and perhaps that's how I measure my greatness, based on my possessions, what I can get. How big is my house? How nice is my car? That's how the world perhaps measures greatness. Or perhaps greatness in the world is by how much power and authority I have. I can control, I can give command. Maybe I'm a supervisor or a manager, a director, VP, chief executive officer. That's how the world or the adult world measures greatness. But that's not what the Lord wants from all of us today. He wants us to have the heavenly greatness of children, the purity of children, the simplicity of children, the forgiveness, the calmness, the ability to interact with each other in a loving way. In order to enter heaven, the Lord tells me that I must go back and become like one of these children. So our names are written in heaven. But in order to enter heaven, we need to focus on the greatness from a heavenly definition and a heavenly perspective, which is sometimes tough to do because we're living here on earth, surrounded by day-to-day jobs and things which have a different and contradicting definition of greatness. Let's go to the third Sunday of the Coptic month of Abib. The third Sunday was, as you may recall, we celebrated last week, was taken from Luke chapter 9, the miracle of the Lord feeding the multitude from the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And at the very beginning, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And this is a very important part of the reading that we shouldn't let pass quickly, because we know our names are written in heaven, and we know we want to have heavenly greatness like that of the angelic children. And in order to do so, the Lord is telling us, when you come back at the end of the day, you need to sit with me like I did with the apostles and have some quiet time with the Lord. You need to have some quiet time with the Lord of self-reflection. What went well today? What didn't go well? How did I handle the situation? Did I act in the way that the Lord would want me to act in this situation? Is there something I could have done better? Is there something I should have said that I didn't say? Or often, is there something that I should not have said that I said? Important to go back into a private place and sit with the Lord. And you know the rest of the story, how the Lord, looking up to heaven, blessed and broke, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And everyone ate and was filled in 12 baskets, so the leftover fragments were taken up. And this is showing us not only that the Lord is able to take care of feeding us in a physical sense, but of course, as the fathers tell us, it is more importantly a symbol of his own body and blood that would feed all of us until his second coming. So those were the three Sundays that we've passed through so far. Again, the Lord is teaching the apostles and teaching us so that we can continue to follow his footsteps, because our names are written in heaven and we want to enter heaven by becoming like angelic children, and we want to depend on him for all the earthly and the heavenly blessings. Now to today's reading. Why did the church choose the reading of Lazarus today, of all days? As you know, we read Lazarus, for example, on Lazarus Saturday, but why are we reading the story of Lazarus today? Well, the Lord is preparing his disciples, his apostles, his church, so that they can continue. And before the Lord goes to fulfill the ultimate sacrifice and to die on our behalf, he wants to show his church and all of us that he has power over the biggest, perhaps, enemy of humanity, which is death. The Lord has power over death. So death is no longer something that we need to fear, especially after the cross, because the Lord has conquered death by his own death. So this miracle raising of Lazarus is one of three recorded miracles in the gospel where the Lord raised someone from the dead. And Lazarus had been in the tomb for how many days? For 4 days. And you would know that at that point, the body would have corrupted and been in a state of decay. The Lord has power over death, even if the body has reached that level. The Lord has power over death, so death, physical death, is no longer scary. What is physical death? Physical death is when my spirit departs from my body. So my body is lifeless, so I am dead. But my spirit is still alive. And in fact, the spirit will return one day to our bodies. And whether we've done good or bad, the spirit will return to our bodies. And those who have done good will go to the resurrection of life. And God forbid, those who have done evil will go to the resurrection of condemnation. So physical death is a temporary state where my spirit has separated from my body. But there's a more serious, scary spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Separation from God. If God is the source of life, and if I separate myself from the source of life, then I'm dead. A spiritual person is led by the Spirit of God. And a spiritual person, their spirit is led by God's Holy Spirit, and their spirit leads their body. There's another kind of choice we can make. Instead of being spiritual people where my spirit leads my body and God's Holy Spirit leads my spirit, I could say, I want to be a carnal person. A carnal person, their body is in charge. The body leads the spirit and, of course, is not subject to God's Holy Spirit, but is subject to the whims and the practices of the world. We want to be, of course, spiritual people, so we want our spirit to lead our body, and we want our spirit and body to be led by God's Holy Spirit. physical death, like we said, is not really that scary if we've been living a righteous life. Physical death is asleep. The Lord said, our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I go that I may wake him. Physical death is a temporary state. Spiritual death is something we should be much more scared about. Okay? And many of us take good care of our physical being. I take good care of my body to feed it and give it the best of drink, the best of clothing. I need a certain hours of sleep every day. I need to rest up. I need to exercise to have good muscles and exercise my brain and learn. Perfect. Excellent. But sometimes I don't take as much good care of my spiritual side. My spiritual side also needs to be nourished. My spiritual side also needs rest. My spiritual side also needs spiritual exercises. If my physical needs are being paid attention to more than my spiritual needs, then don't kid myself. I am carnal. I'm not spiritual. If my physical needs are occupying all my attention, all my time, all my effort, then I'm not spiritual. I am letting the body lead. So I've made a choice that I don't want to be spiritual. If I want to be spiritual, I have to do the spiritual exercises. I need to have the spiritual food. I need to have the spiritual rest. The spiritual food is the Word of God and His own body and blood, which you are all coming here to partake of. The spiritual exercises are the fasting and the praying and the doing good deeds, charitable deeds and service. Those are spiritual exercises. Just like I build my physical strength, I need to build my spiritual strength. And they're called exercises because you need to exercise them. I don't think there's many people who perhaps go jogging or running to stay in shape. I don't think the first time they went on a jog, they were able to run 5K or 10K or run a marathon. It was requiring gradual buildup and gradual exercise. Or the weightlifters, they don't carry 300 kilograms in one shot. They've practiced, right? So they've done their physical exercise. Same with me. I don't think I could reach a level of prayer or fasting or service without building it up over time. So don't think that if it doesn't come naturally, then I give up. There's no point in doing the spiritual exercise. You wouldn't do the same in your education. If you are learning mathematics, for example, you wouldn't start with calculus. You would start with arithmetic and build yourself up. So don't be disappointed or don't lose hope if you find the spiritual exercises too tough. Start with the right level. It doesn't matter what level that you are. It matters whether you have a willingness to start. So we all can have a willingness to start. And we all have hope, even if we've reached a state of spiritual separation from God, that we can be considered we were in the tomb for 4 days. What's in the tomb? In the tomb is not very good stuff. In the tomb is like darkness. In the tomb is a prison. In the tomb is an awful stench, an aroma of death. In the tomb, people are bound in grave clothes, bound, imprisoned, unable to move, and without any will, completely dead. So we don't want to be in that tomb. But even if we have reached a spiritual state where we are considered in that tomb, the Lord who said, Lazarus, come forth, can call each one of us by name and say, come forth, come forth. He has power to heal and forgive and to give life back. He is our hope, even if we have reached a state where we are in the tomb for 4 days. But don't wait till you're in the tomb for 4 days. If you've fallen and tripped up in the tomb for 4 seconds or 4 minutes or 4 hours, come back to him right away. There's no need to wait and wait and wait and make it harder and harder and harder on myself. The Lord is saying, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth now. Come forth here and do according to his life-giving words. Lazarus, come forth from darkness into light, from corruption into righteousness, from death to life. Come forth, feed on the Holy Spirit the Word of God, feed on the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the sacrament of communion, but don't neglect the exercises, because if I neglect my spiritual exercise, I will be easy prey to fall deeper and deeper into the tomb, and I don't want to be in the darkness of corruption for any longer. Come forth, enjoy a heavenly life here on earth, so that you can follow the Lord and his apostles into a glorious life to come. For our Lord is the resurrection and the life, and to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
We believe in one God, God the Father, of the Creator, who created heaven and earth, and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father, from all ages, light of light, true God, begotten, not created. Blessed is the Father, well walked and intermade, who will prosper and prosper salvation, came down from heaven, was in God, the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary, became man, is crucified, was once expelled, suffered, he was buried, and on the third day rose from dead, by according to the Scriptures, ascended to the heavens, his right hand, his Father, and he's coming in his glory to judge the living and the spirits now knowing. Yes, we in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who sees the Father, with the Father, the Son, the Word, and the Lord, who spoke by the prophets. And one holy God from the Lord Church, we confess about this and wish us in.
We, Lord, for the
of your gift to our Master, for that which you have hidden from the wise and the understanding, you have revealed to us, the little children, and those things which prophets and kings have desired to see and have not, the same you have granted to us who are sinners, that we may serve it and be purified thereby. Then when you establish for us the economy of your only begotten Son and the hidden mysteries of this sacrifice, which has neither the blood of flow nor the righteousness of the flesh round about thee. Rather, the lamp is spiritual, and the life is verbal and intelligible, the sacrifice which you offer unto you. We ask and entreat your goodness, O lover of mankind, purify our lips and free our minds from all carnal pollution, and send to us the grace of your Holy Spirit, and make us worthy to greet one another with a holy kiss.
Pray for perfect peace, love, and holy apostolic greetings.
Lord,
that without falling into condemnation, we may partake of your immortal and heavenly gift in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Greet one another with a holy kiss. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. Yes, Lord, our Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hear us and have mercy upon us. Offer in order, stand with trembling, Lord, towards thee. Let us attend.
Through the intercession of the Theotokos and Mary, O Lord, grant us thy forgiveness of our sins. We worship you, O God, with your good Father and the Holy Spirit, for you have risen and saved us. Have mercy, O peace, a sacrifice of grace.
The Lord be with you. Thanks to thee, Lord.
It is meet and right.
Meet and right, Lord, indeed it's meet and right. O you who are Master, Lord God of truth, being before the ages, and ringing forever, O diligent heights and looks upon the lowly, who has created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. The Father of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, by whom you have created all things visible and invisible, who sits upon the throne of his glory, and who is worshipped by all the holy powers.
You who are seated, stand up.
Before whom stand the angels, the archangels, the principals, the authorities, the throne of the dominions, and the powers.
And look towards the east.
You are here round whom stand the cherubim, full of eyes and seraphim, with six wings praising continuously without ceasing, saying,
let us attend.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy indeed, O Lord, our God, who formed us, created us, and placed us in the paradise of joy, when we disobeyed your commandment by the guile of the serpents, we fell from eternal life and were exiled from the desire in the paradise of joy. You have not abandoned us to the end, but have always with us through the, your holy prophet. And in last days you manifested yourself to us who were sitting in darkness and shadow of death. So your only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, who of the Holy Spirit and of the Holy Virgin Mary.
Amen.
Was incarnated and became man and taught us the ways of salvation. He grant us the prayers of on high through the water and spirit. He made us all unto himself a congregation and sanctified us by your Holy Spirit. He loved his own who are in the world and gave himself up for our salvation into death which ringed over us, whereby we were bound and sold on account of our sins. He descended into Hades through the cross. Ascend into heaven and sits at your right hand, our Father. He has appointed a day for recompense on which he will appear to judge the world in righteousness and give each one according to his deeds.
According to your mercy, O Lord.
السر العظيم الذي للتقوى لأنه فيما وراثنا أن يسلم نفسه للموت عن حياة العالم.